May the Lord help us to commence this morning with hymn number 92. 92. Who is this fair one in distress that travels from this wilderness, oppressed with sorrows and with sins, on her beloved Lord she leans. Hymn number 92.
Thank you. This morning I wish to read from two portions of God's holy word. The first you'll find in the book of Psalms, Psalm 48. We have one of the free Bibles from the chapel here. That is page 569. First reading, Psalm 48. A song and psalm for the sons of Korah. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion, on the sides of the north, the city of the great King. God is known in her palaces for a refuge. For lo, the kings were assembled, they passed by together. They saw it, and so they marveled. They were troubled and hasted away. Fear took hold upon them there, and pain as of a woman in travail. Thou breakest the ships of Tarshish with an east wind. As we have heard, so have we seen in the city of the Lord of hosts, in the city of our God. God will establish it for ever, Selah. We have thought of thy loving kindness, O God, in the midst of thy temple. According to thy name, O God, so is thy praise unto the ends of the earth. Thy right hand is full of righteousness. Let Mount Zion rejoice. Let the daughters of Judah be glad because of thy judgments. Walk about Zion and go round about her. Tell the towers thereof. Mark ye well her bulwarks. Consider her palaces, that ye may tell it to the generation following. For this God is our God for ever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death. Now let us turn to the prophet Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 25. Isaiah 25, page 669 in the Ruby Bibles. Isaiah chapter 25. O Lord, thou art my God. I will exalt thee. I will praise thy name. For thou hast done wonderful things. Thy counsels of old are faithfulness and truth. For thou hast made of a city an heap, of a defence city a ruin, a palace of strangers to be no city, it shall never be built. Therefore shall the strong people glorify thee. The city of the terrible nations shall fear thee. For thou hast been a strength to the poor, a strength to the needy in his distress, a refuge from the storm, a shadow from the heat, when the blast of the terrible ones is as a storm against the wall. Thou shalt bring down the noise of strangers, as the heat in a dry place, even the heat with the shadow of a cloud. The branch of the terrible ones shall be brought low. And in this mountain shall the Lord of hosts make unto all people a feast of fat things, a feast of wines on the lees, of fat things full of marrow, of wines on the lees well refined. And he will destroy in this mountain the face of the covering cast over all people, and the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces, and the rebuke of his people shall he take away from off all the earth, for the Lord hath spoken it. And it shall be said in that day, Lo, this is our God. We have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. For in this mountain shall the hand of the Lord rest, and Moab shall be trodden down under him, even as straw is trodden down for the dunghill. And he shall spread forth his hands in the midst of them, as he that swimmeth spreadeth forth his hands to swim. And he shall bring down their pride together with the spoils of their hands, and the fortress of the high fort of thy walls shall he bring down, lay low, and bring to the ground, even to the dust. The Lord bless to us that reading of his holy word, and help us in prayer. Let us pray. O Lord God of heaven and of earth, we seek to reverence thy great and thy holy name, to come before thy presence, yea, with singing, but with the fear of the Lord in our hearts. O Lord, do thou, who art the God of the house of God, make known thyself, thy presence, here through thy Spirit and thy word. Do grant the power of God that bringeth salvation. May we truly know thy promised presence, that unto him shall the gathering of the people be, and that even where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. And so we do pray thy blessing, thy presence here at Swavesey this day. May thy blessing be upon each of the services, and that thou be with us this morning hour, and be with all the assemblies of thy dear people. Lord, many we would think of and bear before thee this day, those attending to the ordinances of thy house, those gathering with a few or those with many, and our own dear flock at home. We do pray thy blessing upon each gathering. And Lord, do be pleased to strengthen the churches in this land. Remember us as a little denomination and do strengthen us. We thank thee for one another in the Lord. We pray, Lord, for that increase of bond, of union, and help and strength one to another, and that thy presence might be known much in our assemblies. Do remember thy dear people, those whom thou hast made manifest. Thou hast chosen them, and thou hast also called them, and gathered them together. O Lord, do strengthen them, and encourage them, and help them, do feed them with the bread of life sent down from heaven, and do grant, Lord, a good day in Zion. O Lord, remember the flock of thy pasture, and do be pleased to lead them beside these still waters this day. And Lord, may they have a glimpse of their beloved. May they know again those tokens of their union with thee. And Lord, that thou hast be pleased to add unto their number, calling such as should be saved, quickening into life those amongst us here that are yet dead in trespasses and sins. Lord, do remember those who have a concern and seek thee and have come this day, not just to see thy courts or those that dwell there, but to get a glimpse of thee, those who have come with petitions, longing, and desires of those who maybe have sought a token for good for their soul. Lord, fulfill the petitions of thy people. And Lord, those who as yet feel it may be that they are not thy people and want a token that they are, grant them that true token and do help in the ministry of the word. We might lift up a precious Christ, and thou hast said, and I, if I be lifted up above the earth, will draw all men unto me. We pray, Lord, there might be those here with us today that are drawn unto a precious Christ. We seek, Lord, that thou hast remembered those who have come and they do not have a concern. Lord, do have mercy upon them. Bring them into a concern. Lord, to cause that they might seek thee in the day that thou mayest be found. For thou hast said that they that seek shall find. O Lord, we do beg of thee the moving of thy spirit. Except the Lord build the house, thy labour in vain that build it. Lord, do pour out upon us that power of God, without which there shall nothing be done. But may the word this day be in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. O Lord, do be pleased to use this vessel. Oh, how I feel to need that cleansing and washing and sanctifying. But Lord, thy word is pure. And Lord, help one to bring forth thy pure word. And may it be acknowledged as such. And may there be those that are drawn to it and hear not the messenger, but hear the one who gives the message, one who is the message itself, our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. My sheep, they hear my voice and they follow me. Lord, we do pray that there might be that hearing ear given this morning, and that there might be those that are truly affected by that. We thank thee for each gathered. We pray thy blessing upon their dear deacons, to strengthen and help and be with them, and that thou hast helped them and in the choice of the hymns, in all the responsibility with the church and congregation here. Remember each of the church and do bless them with that sweet union and fellowship one with another. Bless them on their special times, anniversary times, and Lord, do be with them in their sorrows and their joys. And O Lord, we pray thy blessing on each family here. We thank thee for the children, the little ones. We pray thy blessing that they might be called by grace while they are young. Remember their parents who may themselves be seekers, and help them to bring up their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and in teaching them that thou hast teach themselves. And Lord, that thou hast grant that there might be a bringing of parents and children together, and that there might be thy blessing upon each household here. We pray for those that are not here, those that may be on holiday that we do not see here. Do be with them where they may be. Bless them, and may they have a good time of rest and change. Be with any that are sick and unwell. We do seek thy kind healing hand. And be with our dear aged friends and those who are afflicted in their minds as well as bodies. Do help them be with them. Remember those that walk through dark valleys spiritually, and that thou hast grant thy light to shine on their darkened path this day. Remember those who have sorrows and burdens that maybe they cannot even share to another. And Lord, do help them to cast their burden upon thee. And thou hast said, and I will sustain thee. O Lord, be with any that feel to be a stranger. They come in, maybe have met for some time here, and yet still feel a stranger. May they prove what the hymn writer says, no more a stranger or a guest, but like a child at home. We do pray, Lord, that thou hast increase and bless the congregation here. Bless the Bibles that are taken from the outside the chapel. Be with any who have received them and joining, whether in the chapel here or online this day. And do be pleased to bless the people of Swayze and this surrounding area, that there might be those that are drawn to come here and find it to be a pasture where they can feed upon thy word, where there is the truth that is set forth, where there is a loving family, a family on earth that knows the Saviour, and the Saviour knows them, that are not orphans but have a Father in heaven. O Lord, do grant that this place might be renowned for that fellowship and love and union and support one of another in the things of God. O let it not just be, as we fear many places are, just a place where three services are held in the week and hardly much known of each other in between. O Lord, we do prize and bless thee where it is otherwise, and where each of thy dear people know each other and love each other in the Lord and desire their company and fellowship and conversation and seek each other's good. Lord, may it be so here. O Lord, we thank thee where it is. Do be pleased to remember us as a nation. We pray for our king and queen. We think of the official birthday yesterday, and we do pray for him. We bless our king with saving grace to work in his heart. And Lord, may he and all in authority over us have ears open to good advice and shut to bad advice. And Lord, open their ears to thy word. May there be those like Josiah of old, who found thy word, who read thy word, who trembled at thy word. Lord, remember us as a guilty nation, a nation that in so many ways are turning away from thee. We confess our many, many sins. We come before thee with our personal sins. O Lord, if thou shouldst mark iniquity, who should stand? O wash and cleanse us. Deliver us from our besetting sins. Give us that tender conscience and the fear of the Lord, and do grant us a teachable spirit. Grant us grace to mortify sin, to crucify self. O Lord, do grant us that help to fight the good fight of faith and to lay hold upon eternal life. May we be as people that have respect unto the recompense of the reward. Lord, we have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Help us to strive still, knowing of that inheritance that is incorruptible, undefiled, and reserved in heaven for us. But Lord, we are ashamed of our walk, our conduct, of our thoughts, our wild affections, our words, the things that we have done we should not have done, things that we should have done we have not done. And, O Lord, we pray that thou hast wash us, cleanse us, make us to be what thou hast have us to be here below, while compassed with infirmity and in a body of death. May we be what thou hast have us to be, speak as thou hast have us to speak, think as thou hast have us to speak, act as thou hast have us to act. O Lord, may we be what thou hast have thy purchased people to be. We thank thee for the precious blood shed at Calvary, for our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. We thank thee for his kingly presence in heaven as our great high priest too, king and priest in one, and to speak for us in heaven's high court for good. We do thank thee for thy word, the preaching of it, the gathering together of thy people, and the expectation and hope that thou hast come now and bless our souls. For these things we pray, we ask, giving thanks for every blessing, temporal and spiritual, and we ask through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Hymn 263. Jesus, the glorious head of grace, knows every saint's peculiar case, what sorrows by their souls are borne, and how for sin they daily mourn. Hymn 263.
Seeking for the help of the Lord, I direct your prayerful attention to Psalm 48, the last verse, verse 14. For this God is our God for ever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death. Psalm 48 and verse 14. This psalm is a psalm that exalts the Church of God, Zion, and the Church of the Living God. But it begins and it ends with exalting the God of the house of God. And how vital that is. Our Lord, you know, he loved the house at Bethany, but not just the house at Bethany, not its building, but those that dwelt in it. He loved Mary and Martha and Lazarus and the people of God. They love the Church of God. They love the house of God. But they love it because it is the house of God. And God is there. And when his presence is known and felt, then it is a true Bethel to them. Really, although we say this psalm speaks and sets forth the Church of God, yet it's really seen in the eyes of the Lord himself, what he is in Zion, as if the whole picture of the Church of God is seen through the lens of what the Lord Jesus Christ is and how he is seen. It really is a blessed thing if the words of our text are words that we can say. I wonder how many of you here either can or desire to be able to say these words. For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death. And I wonder how many of us have those things that we are able to tell to the generation following. Consider her palaces, her bulwarks, consider her palaces, that ye may tell it to the generation following, for this God is our God. What a test it is, really, if we can say these things. If this belongs to us, then we will have something to tell to others. Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will tell what he hath done for my soul. But we also have something to tell our children and the next generation, nephews, nieces, grandchildren. I want to look with the Lord's help this morning. 3 points. Firstly, this God. The very way that our text starts, it implies this, that this God has been set forth in this psalm, in the verses leading up to this last verse. So that's our first point, this God. The second is this God, our God, and that forever and ever. And the third, this God, our guide, even unto death. But firstly, this God has set forth in this psalm. And as we try and set him forth, may we be drawn to him, may we see him. The first is this. He is the God of Bethel. He is the God of the Church of God. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God. is like the thing to realize this, that as we gather, that this God is the God of the Church of God. You know, those that gather around idols, those that gather to worship some other God that is no God. What a solemn thing for them. But to gather together and to be part of a church of which we may say the God of the Bible is this God. This is he who is set forth. He's not someone that we do not know, that doesn't belong here, but is here and makes himself known, that this God is a God that has revealed himself and set forth himself in the Church of God. You know, Paul says to Timothy, when he was to then come and see him, but before he came, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the Church of God, which is the pillar and ground of the truth. This God, the great King. We have in verse 2, the city of the great King. And then we have later on, at the end of the psalm, a city that has towers, that has walls and bulwarks and palaces. What a grand picture that we have. A picture that greater than David, greater than Solomon, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. There can be no greater, no more majestic, none above him than this God that is set forth here. The city of the great King. This God is known also as a refuge. Verse 3, God is known in her palaces for a refuge. This is something that he is marked out for, and I trust that we know this in the ordering of the cities of refuge in the promised land. There was given three on one side and three on the other side, Jordan, a place to flee unto. But they were only types. This God, he is known. He is known by his people. He is known in the Church of God, in the Word of God, at the throne of grace, and his people know that he is their refuge. A God that is a refuge for his people. He's also a God that fights for his people. You have from verse 4 right through to verse 8 or verse 7. The Lord fighting for his people, appearing for them, helping them, defending them. If ever that was seen in the children of Israel, that God went before their armies, he fought for them. How many times it was, ye shall not need to fight in this battle. The Lord did it. He worked that work. Ruth knew that when she put her trust in and case before Boaz. In chapter 3 of Ruth, you see her presenting the case. In chapter 4, you don't hear of anything Ruth is doing. Everything that Boaz is doing, he is taking her part. And the Lord takes the part of his people and of his church. He is the one that fights their battles for them. He is the captain of their salvation. He goes before them. Then we have what is heard is true of him. Verse 8, as we have heard, so have we seen in the city of the Lord of hosts. You remember that Queen of Sheba, she heard of the fame of Solomon. She heard of his greatness. So she went to see, and when she came, she said that it was not told as much as what it was. It was greater. His fame was greater. His wisdom was greater. His might was greater than what she had heard. And God is known in this. This is this God, that whatever is told of him, when those actually see him, when they know him, then he is greater than what has been told. Sometimes we might be told of a person and we have real expectations of what that person will be like. And when we see them, they're nothing at all like what we thought they were. We might have that in a house or a place we go and visit, and the report does not bear to be compared with what actually is seen, maybe in a discouraging way. But the way our Lord is set forth, it is set forth that when we see him, when we truly know him, then what has been told, what has been heard, it is greater. So have we seen. We've seen what we've heard, and it's been greater also than what we have heard. And also in verse 10, concerning the name of the Lord, according to thy name, O God, so is thy praise. And we think, especially in gospel days, when the name of Jesus is given to our Lord, a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow. What does the name of Jesus mean? He shall save his people from their sins. And so this psalm says, that according to thy name, O God, so is thy praise. He shall save his people from their sins. He does save them. He is the Saviour, the only Saviour. This God is set forth here that has this name, the name of Saviour. He's a God in verse 9. That is renowned for his loving kindness. We have thought of thy loving kindness, O God, in the midst of thy temple. Psalm 107 finishes, whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. Our Lord is marked out. This is one of his characteristics. This is how he is known or can be described in Zion, for his loving kindness. Not just love, not just kindness, but loving kindness. He wraps in frowns as well as smiles some tokens of his love. Then we have his judgments. In verse 11, let Mount Zion rejoice, let the daughters of Judah be glad because of thy judgments. The Lord's judgments, the great judgment of the gospel, saying to a sinner that he would take their sins and lay them on his beloved Son, that he would take his righteousness and put it to their account, that he would judge in their favour, not for their sakes and not for any righteousness or good in them, but because of his own mercy, because of the covenant, because of that loving kindness. You know, the judgment seat of Christ is not a place of terror for God's dear children. They have known his judgments here below. They have known again and again that the Lord has not dealt with them as their sins have deserved, but that he has laid on him the iniquity of us all. They have known the judgments of the Lord to take the law and make it honourable, and to do for us what we cannot do for ourselves, what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son, and in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. It is the righteousness of God might be found in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. It is the delight of God's people to look upon the judgments of the Lord, how he works for his people, how he deals against their adversaries, but takes their part, takes their way. We think of when the woman that was with, taken in adultery, was brought before the Lord, and they asked him, "Lord, you judge. Here she is guilty." So the Lord says, "Let him that is without sin first cast a stone upon her." They all went out, convicted in their own consciences. "Hath no man condemned thee?" "No, none, Lord. Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." The Lord doesn't condone sin. Not to sin that grace might abound, but he forgives sinners, changes sinners, pardons sinners. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He doesn't say, "Cleanse yourself from all your unrighteousness and then I'll forgive your sins." No, you confess your sins, I'll forgive them and I'll cleanse you. A new heart will I give you. These are the judgments of the Lord, not dealing with us as the law, as Moses, not in wrath, but in mercy, in kindness, in grace, and all because he can do it, because he has settled the debt. He has suffered in our place. He's made a way that God can be righteous and just, and yet the one that can acquit and forgive the sinner. And these things are the things that God is known. This God is known in his palaces. This God is described. Now, right through the Word of God, our God is described. I wonder how many times we look through and we think, this is describing our God. This is describing him. This God of this psalm. Well, I want to think then, secondly, this God, our God, forever and ever. For this God is our God forever and ever. How? How do we know that this God is our God? I want to think of just a little illustration first. We might, we've here tried to describe, and from this psalm, this God. We might describe to someone a person. We might say they are a most kind person. They're a gracious person. They're a godly person. A person who has so many of these qualities. I can always go to them. I can always ask their advice. They're so forgiving. They're so tender. And you explain all this about them. And then you say, that person is my wife. Or that person is my husband. Or that person is my mother. Or that person is my father. Now you could describe perhaps anyone of those qualities. But what a difference it is when you can say that you actually have a relationship with that person. And it is so here. There's a picturing of this God. And then there's a laying claim and saying this God is our God. Now going back to the illustration, if there was that relationship, husband to wife, or a child to a parent, especially thinking with the children, with the parent, if there's a relationship, that child would know the expressions of love that were actually bestowed upon them. They weren't talking about someone else that they could see was showing love on their children or someone else, they would personally have been the receiver of that love and that affection. The parent would have fed them, not just one day, but every day and through the day. They've put a roof over their head. They've kept them, watch over them. There would be a direct link from that claim that this person has this relation to me. And so it is in our text as well. If we're going to say this God is our God, then it's not just we're taking what is written of this God in the Word of God, but we're saying we have proved that this God is this to us. We have experienced this. We know that this is true. When we have spoken here about what is heard, what has been heard, and we have seen in the city of our God, that's experiencing. We've heard it first. I've heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. This is Job speaking. We see those that walk by faith in Hebrews 11. They see the promises afar off and they embrace those promises. But the time comes, those promises are made over to them. All the promises of God are yea and amen in Christ Jesus. And many of the Lord's dear people, they began as a seeker, began perhaps feeling they're not at all one of the Lord's dear people, and they've seen those they esteem as the Lord's people being blessed and favoured, and they may have even said, and may have even put before the Lord in prayer, Lord, that I might be blessed with the grace that that person has, that I might know the blessings that they have, and you might be able to name several blessings. And you know, I've seen some that have walked that path and I've heard what they've said. And then a few years have gone by and then I've been able to say to them, you know, you said several years ago that you desired that you would be like that person. And I've been able to point them where the Lord has blessed them with it. They hadn't really realised it, but the Lord had given them that hearing ear. He'd given them that desire, that longing. He'd given them those blessings that they saw and with a godly jealousy had desired for themselves. I believe Ruth had that with Naomi, that she should desire that her God be her God, that she might be with her. And Naomi was walking a path of affliction and sorrow and grief. Bereavement, as she was. And yet she was attracted to her and attracted to her God. And remember, of course, here the context here is having that to tell to the generation following, and sometimes that telling doesn't even need words. They can see. They can see. You think again with a child or husband and wife. They don't need to go about saying and proclaiming their love to each other. You only got to look at them, you know they do. And you've got to see the care and the tenderness and the esteem they have one for another. And you know there's that love one to another. And so it's a blessed thing when that's discerned between the Lord and his people. The able to say some of the Psalms, I love the Lord because, and there are those things the Lord has done for us that we are glad and we rejoice in. And to be able to know, like we have with the refuge here, God is known in her palaces for a refuge. Do you know him for a refuge? When you've had storms of trials in your life, where do you go? Where do you take those? Do you take them to the Lord? Do you take it to the throne of grace? Do you lay it before the Lord and then come into the Lord's house expecting that you would hear from your God? And do you hear from him from time to time? Is the throne of grace a place of refuge for you? Is his word a refuge? Do you go to his word? Thy word that I have rested on shall help my heaviest hours. This God. You know, I would say here, of the different degrees you might look on this word. In one sense, all of us, as we gather in this chapel, to those outside, we are bearing a testimony, this God, the God of the Bible, the God of the Bible that is outside the chapel here. They don't expect you come in here and we're worshipping some other God. They expect we are worshipping Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, the God of the Bible. But that's like an outer court worshipper. You might be able to say that, this God is our God. If someone asks you in the street, well, what religion are you? What God do you worship? But it needs to come closer than that, doesn't it? How close can we claim? Can we say, and the Lord acknowledge that claim, that this God is our God? When time shall be no more, when there's that last division between the righteous and the wicked, where shall we be then? Will this God then be our God? It is known by calling. Known when the Lord calls his people, calls his sheep by name. He leads them out. You know, every one of the children of God have been once in the world and of the world, but he leads them out. He goes before them. Come ye out from among them, touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Ye shall be my sons and my daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. He puts those amongst his children, which at first did not feel like his children. We mentioned Ruth. She says of Boaz, why takest thou knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? She felt like that. But she ended up united with Boaz as his bride. And the Lord's people, as they are brought into his family, adopted into his family and made known his, they begin to receive the benefits of a child of God. They know his quickening breath. They know his use of the word to speak to them, whether through the written word or the preached word. It hath pleased God through the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. They know what it is for the Lord to fight for them, to appear for them and help them, to answer their prayers. They know what it is for the Lord to make known his loving kindness to them. First, maybe in providential things, tasting that the Lord is gracious, and then in spiritual things. And token after token, he impresses upon them that he cares for them, he knows them, he watches over them, that they mean something to him, that they are not their own, that they are bought with a price. And the Holy Spirit will always receive the things of Jesus and show them unto the soul. Many are longing for maybe just a word to assure them that they are a child of God, The Lord may give and does give words, individual texts to his people, but the greatest evidence is when the Holy Spirit makes the Lord precious to that soul and leads them to know more and more of Christ and want to know more and more of him, and to be able to trace those blessings that come down to them from heaven above at his decree. Some of you will have read Mr. Ramsbottom's little book, Bible Doctrine Simply Explained. And there was a time of discussing how is it we may know that we are elect. And there was an old soldier in that assembly. And he, after many had said various things, he said, as you know, he said, I am an old soldier. And because I am an old soldier, once a month I get a pension. And he said, I know that there is in London a record of all the old soldiers. And there is a book, and my name is written in that book. He said, I've never been to London. I've never seen that book. But he said, because month by month I get my pension, I know there is a book, and know my name is in it. And he knew it by the benefits and the blessings. And we know our election by calling. We know that this God is our God because he deals with us as children. In Hebrews 12, we read that he chasteneth every son whom he receiveth. He corrects them. There are many parallels between a family with children and the Lord dealing with his children. And it is in that way that we are able to say this God is our God. It has a base to it. It has a foundation to it. There's a reason why we can say, the reason why we can say what we do say is not just empty words. It is really what the Lord has done, what he is to us. And the Lord will own that. We'll never hear at that last day, depart from me, I never knew you. He does know his people. And sometimes it is made known to them in very conspicuous ways. Thou God seest me. He knoweth the way that I take. That persuasion that the Lord takes knowledge of them and watches over them. And we know our Lord said that those that come to him are drawn by the Father, drawn to the Lord. Well, when there is that being able to say, this God is our God, is not just for one day, is not just while we're feeling holy or godly or in the right thoughts. It's set before us here forever and ever. One of the hymns says, once in him forever thus the eternal covenant stands. And it is a precious truth. That once the Lord begins, he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. You might have gone with some of the points that I've raised here, and you say, yes, but I can see these evidences, these points, but if you knew my heart, if you knew my departures, if you knew my coldness, how changeable I am, yeah, I do know that because I know it myself. But the unchangeableness is with the Lord, not with us. I always remember that the gospel is not for righteous in themselves, it's for sinners. It is for those that even when they are blessed, and when they are as blessed as the Lord would have them to be blessed here below, they're still in a body of death. They still have corruption. They still can be tempted. They still can be tried. We see the changes with dear Peter. One moment, professing, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." The next, he say, "This shall not be unto thee, Lord," and he would not have him suffer in his place. And then he's denying him three times. You know, the scriptures are not setting forth, even David, a man after God's own heart, a man that doesn't depart, doesn't go away from the Lord. We see Psalm 51, the great repentance and godly sorrow of dear David after his sin. But the Lord didn't change. "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." Yes, he'd lost that, but he hadn't lost God's salvation. The Lord hadn't disowned him. He was still his God. The Lord said to Peter, "When thou art converted, when thou art restored." Yes, God's children have those times they need to be restored, but they're still his children, and the Lord is still their God. And it is a foundation truth. Where would we be if our position in Christ changed according to our feelings? Our feelings change so much through a day. But the Lord does not change. Jesus Christ the same. Yesterday and today and forever. And so, joined with this testimony, "This God is our God," are these words, "forever and ever." How precious that word is. And it's founded upon the Word of God, founded upon Christ's Word. He will have a regard to the work of his own hands. And if you want some of those that have recognized the work of his hands, you think of Abraham's servant getting a wife for Isaac. When he rehearses what has been done at the well, his prayer, the answers to the prayer, and he tells Bethuel and Laban, they say, "The thing proceedeth from the Lord." They can look at what had happened in the life of another and recognize the Lord's hand. Maybe you've been able to see that in someone else's life, but have you stood back and seen it in your life? How the Lord has gone before, has answered prayer, has appeared. Sometimes it takes with us needing one token after another, one help after another, before at last that we are truly convinced, truly realize that this truly is the Lord. Do you think of when the dear disciples on that first day of the week, when the Lord rose from the dead, I would think they all would long that that was so. That he was alive, he'd risen. But how much they needed, token after token, report after report. And at last we read that they met with the disciples saying, "The Lord is risen indeed. He really, really has." Maybe there's those of you walking through this path. Is the Lord truly mine? Has he truly begun a work? Am I really his child? And he's given you one token after another. But blessed time when it comes and you have so much weight of evidence that you cannot but believe, cannot but say, "The Lord is risen indeed. He has appeared. He is my God." And if he is my God, it won't just be for one day, but forever and forever. May the Lord give that witness and Shine upon his work where it is. And give us eyes to see. Let thy work appear unto thy servants. Open thou mine eyes. Sometimes his work is there, but we cannot see it and cannot see its hem. Two on the way to Emmaus, they were hearing his words, but didn't know him, but their heart burned within them. You may have been hearing the words in the house of God. Your heart has burned, but you've trembled to say, well, that sermon was blessed to me, or that verse was blessed to me. But may the time come you look back and the Lord shines upon it and say, yes, I did bless that to you, and that text, and that sermon, and that word. You know, he is able and he does shine upon all of the way and shines upon all what he has done, because he knows what he has done. And he's honoured and glorified then to show it to his children. This is my work. You are my child. I am your God. And with Thomas they say, my Lord and my God. And those doubts, they're gone. That's a blessed place to be. My Lord and my God. Well, then there's a last point. This God. This God that is our God, our guide, even unto death. Once we realize and have the comfort and blessing that this God is our God, then it's not just realizing it, that forever and ever, beyond the grave, eternally our God, but right through this life, right to death. There's been some times that I've been so favoured and blessed in my soul, I haven't feared death, but feared life. Because knowing my own wicked heart, a tempting devil, all the things that may go on in between from now unto death, unto the grave. Paul in 1 Corinthians 15, he speaks of the victory at the resurrection, the victory over the grave. But here is a beautiful promise of the Lord, this God, our God, being our guide even unto death. From this point, right to the time that we die, it's a beautiful promise, isn't it? The Holy Spirit, he shall guide you into all truth, shall not speak of himself, that which he shall see, he shall reveal to you. Blessed thing, to be kept from all error, by the Lord being our guide into the truths of God. The Lord being our guide, to keep our feet from falling. And our steps in the way. I will lead the blind by the way that they know not. Bring them in paths that they have not known. Sometimes we might not realize what a guide we have. Now, if you had a road that was full of potholes and a blind person, we have a couple of blind people in Cranbrook, and sometimes we'll see them about to go across the road and we'll come near to them, get them to grab our arm and bring them across the road. But if that road had all holes in it, and we just went straight across, and they stumbled in this one and stumbled in that, but you just held on to them tight, and they'd get through to the other side, and they'd say, so thankful I had your arm to hold on to. That was a really rough road, wasn't it? But then if you had a more skillful guide, and skillfully guided them round all of those holes, there's not a stumble, no trouble at all, got the other side. Would that blind person say, I could have done that on my own. I didn't need a guide. No holes there, no nothing, I didn't stumble at all. It's a great thing when we can really realise the Lord's keeping, without having to stumble, without falling, that the Lord does keep us. When we see others fall and we say, but by the grace of God, there go I. He it is, the one that has held up my steps, that my footsteps fail not. And to know the promises of God, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. As a good shepherd leading his people out, going before them, as the word that is behind his people when they turn to the right hand and when they turn to the left, this is the way, walk ye in it. And you know the very promise here, the guide unto death, it opens up a whole more area of tokens for good for a child of God. Not only do they have the first tokens, but as they go through life, they see their guide, the fiery, cloudy pillar leading them all their journey through. No place that they may go, but the Lord knows it and guides them and is with them in it. How many places David went, Daniel went, Job went in trials, in tribulation, and the Lord was with them, even in the fiery furnace of Nebuchadnezzar with his children. It's a blessed thing to have the Lord as our guide and know that he is our guide. You know, sometimes you might go around, say, a National Trust place, and you might have a physical guide. They'll take you from room to room and they'll explain what is in that room. It's a blessed thing when parts of our lives and the things we go through are explained to us. But one place we went through recently, we were given a card, a booklet, and we were told, there is no guide in this house. This booklet is your guide. It's a self-guide. You go into each room and each room's got a number on it, and then you can read what's in this room. The psalmist said, thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. That's our guide. Blessed thing to have the Lord guiding us through his word. And where we've known that guidance, to know that it is not just for today or tomorrow, but even unto death. Sometimes we can look back and see in our lives times when there's been so clear guidance, and then there seems to be a stop, as if the Lord's gone silent. And we're left wondering, is the Lord still guiding us? Is he with us in this? And the present trials and uncertainties, it seems as if we've lost our guide. But this is where faith believes the Lord is still the same. He hasn't changed, and the promise is still the same. And we're to hold on to that, that he does still guide us, and to trust in him. You know, one aspect of this guide as well, there are sometimes in our lives, it falls to our lot to make the decisions. Ezra's told, this matter belongeth unto thee, arise and do it. We will be with thee. It's a difficult thing to actually make the decision and make the move. And we might feel that it's all on us to do so. But I believe where we have laid the matter before the Lord, in the fear of the Lord, where we have looked at all of the situation and we make that decision subject to the will of God, he will not leave his people to make a wrong decision. Sometimes they may have thought that they made a right one, and the Lord stops it in providence, hinders up the way. Sometimes it might be like Paul. He tries to go to one place, but can't. The Lord says no, and tries another, and that way he's stopped up, and then he opens up a way. But the Lord will be the guide of his people. and instruct them and teach them, so that though it may seem to be our decisions, the lot cast into the lap, our lap to do, yet the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. And it may be a word for some here. You think, I wish someone would make the decision for me. I wish someone would take it out of my hands. But when we can trust the Lord and venture on him, and we walk in his fear and according to his word, he will be our guide even unto death. I hope we feel our need of such a guide. We won't miss the mark if we have that guide. It is a narrow way. But with this guide, we will endure unto the end. And after death, he's still our God. This God is our God forever and ever. May the Lord add his blessing. Amen.
God willing, Sunday school will be at Bethany this afternoon. Mr. John Rosie is expected to preach on Tuesday evening. And next Lord's Day, there'll be a reading service in the morning. And Mr. Ian Sadler is expected to preach in the evening. And our friends at Oakington hold their anniversary service on Wednesday. Let us close with hymn 746. Jesus is our God and Saviour, guide and counsellor and friend, bearing all our misbehaviour, kind and loving to the end. Trust him, he will not deceive us, though we hardly of him deem. He will never, never leave us, nor will let us quite leave him. Hymn 746.
The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all now and evermore. Amen.